Lord, as we look into your word together this morning, open our minds to understand its truth and give us hearts willing to respond. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come this morning to look at the last of what came to be known from the Reformation as the five solas, sola being the Latin word for alone. So we've seen over the past 4 weeks, Scripture alone is God's word to us and teaches justification of sinners by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and all point to and affirm the glory of God alone, which is our focus this morning. There was a television advert that ran over Christmas and New Year, which advertised the Amazon Fire Stick and featured Jeremy Clarkson, one-time presenter of Top Gear, who disgraced himself when he punched his producer, which you might read about in the paper. And the advert begins with him dusting a bronze bust of himself. And he says, "If, like me, you like the sound of your own voice, you'll love the Amazon Alexa Fire Stick." Now, for those of us like me who are not greatly into technology, when you plug one of these Fire Sticks into certain televisions, it means you can ask it to find a program without you even leaving your chair. Of course, Clarkson asks for it to select one of his own programs and concludes, "But it's not all about me, but about the Fire Stick." And the final shot is of him standing, leaning on a fireplace over which is a huge picture of himself. Him saying, "But it's mostly about me." Well, it's clever advertising, for Clarkson is known for promoting and drawing attention to himself. But what a different outlook Paul had when he wrote his letter to the Romans. For he wanted not to draw attention to himself, but to point the recipients of the letter to God and to all Christ had done for them, and of course, also for us. John Stott, giving an overview of the first 11 chapters of Romans, wrote this: "Step by step, Paul has shown how God has revealed his way of putting sinners right with himself, how Christ died for our sins and was raised for our justification, how we are united with Christ in his death and resurrection, how the Christian life is not lived under the law, but in the Spirit, and how God plans to incorporate the fullness of Israel and of the Gentiles into his new community. Paul's horizons are vast," he writes. "He takes in time and eternity, history and eschatology, justification, sanctification, and glorification." Now he stops, out of breath. It's a great summary John Stott gives, and in those few sentences, we capture Paul's excitement and wonder as he reflects on God's great love for us and all he's done for us in Christ. And it seems Paul is overcome with emotion at the extent of God's goodness and grace. And as we heard in that reading that Anne read for us, finally bursts and sings out God's praise. And if you want to follow this, it's on page 1139 from Romans chapter 11, starting at verse 33. And this is what he sang out: "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Do you sense that joy and delight and love Paul feels as he thinks about God. He says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." And that part of all things is our acknowledgement of God as creator. Psalm 19 begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hand." In 2016, Sue and I were fortunate to go on a cruise up the Norwegian coast. And we went in the hope of seeing the northern lights. We stood out on deck late at night as over the ship's public address system had come the announcement from the ship's bridge that the northern lights could be seen. We stood on the deck and looked up, and there was a faint movement of light, white light, just in the clouds. A bit disappointing in comparison to the pictures we'd seen. But one late cold night, we stood with a crowd of others looking up in the sky, and suddenly the clouds shifted, and there were the northern lights, the greens and purples making patterns in the sky. And from our fellow passengers, all you could hear was, "Ooh, ah," at the wonder of what was happening before our very eyes. I was chatting a couple of days later with a lady we'd met at the start of the holiday, and I'd asked if she had been on deck to see the northern lights. She had, and we shared our excitement and what we felt about the experience. And I commented on people's response to what they saw, and she said, "Isn't it good that there are some things that are beyond words? The wonder sometimes of God's good creation can leave us speechless." I'm sure we've all had experiences where the view before you has been breathtaking, or you've watched a beautiful sunset, or if you were out at night 2 Wednesdays ago to witness the size and brightness of the moon. We worship, though, not the creation, but the Creator. And to him belongs all glory alone. When I was at theological college, we had come to address us students the late Donald Coggan. I don't recall all he said, but one thing sticks in my mind. He reflected on how good it was that Christians had caught on to Jesus being a friend, there to turn to, dependable, reliable. But he raised a note of caution, of it not tipping over and being all chummy and matey. "We are," he said, "in danger of losing our sense of awe." And we were reminded of the opening lines of the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There is an otherness of God who is above and beyond us, the one who is holy. At the very outset of this service, we sang about that otherness of God. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. These words are found in Psalm 29. "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." We give glory to God because he is glorious. That's why Paul says in verse 34, "Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? No one possesses superior wisdom or knowledge to that which God possesses." Our salvation was not because of man's pleading, but God's will and plan alone, revealing his inconceivable, wonderful love for each and every one of us. This is how it's expressed in the first letter of John, chapter 4 and verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. As you've already heard in this series of sermons, our salvation is not by our own efforts, but by God's grace alone, freely offered in love, which is why the only response is to say, to him be glory forever. To repeat myself, we give glory to God, for he is glorious. It's about, not about us, but about him. It's worth remembering this doctrine of to God's glory alone came out of the Reformation when there was a concern about the glorification of the church and many of its clergy at that time. And this was like Clarkson saying, well, it's mostly about me. The church had lost its focus. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I hope we enjoy God and all he means to us. But how do we glorify God? Well, that's what Paul goes on to spell out in the second half of his letter to the Romans. Certainly through our praise and worship, as Paul does at the end of chapter 11. But also, says Paul in chapter 12 and verse 1, by offering your bodies, your souls as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is about putting our faith into action, considering what behaviour is in conformity with God's will, and making that behaviour the pattern for our lives. Paul is very practical, and I encourage you to read the last five chapters of Romans. But just picking on some things from chapter 12 about living to God's glory. Verse 9, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Verse 10, honour one another above yourselves. Verse 13, share with those in need. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Verse 16, do not be proud or conceited. Verse 17, do not repay evil for evil. Verse 19, do not take revenge. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how might we bring glory to God, say, in our work, in our marriage and relationships, in our parenting or grandparenting, in our leisure time, through our finances, even through our worship? Johann Sebastian Bach was a man of faith, and I understand before he wrote, he prayed to God, let it bring you joy, even as it brings joy to the people. And before he ever wrote a note on his paper, he formed the letter JJ at the top of the page, which is an abbreviation for Jesu Juva, which translated into English is, Jesus, help me. For he believed without God's help, he could never complete the task. When he was finally satisfied with his completed work, he wrote at the end of the music, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. What about if we were to begin each day asking Jesus to help us. And at the end of the day, reflecting on all we've done and said, and in our attitudes and behaviour, that it might have been to the glory of God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. These are words from Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. To close, I use a prayer. Words from the last verse of perhaps one of the least familiar letters in the New Testament, Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.